It's a German melodrama or
okay, welcome to the broadcast. Once again, this is American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. It's the 21st of July, 2005. The number one partner website to AmericanExposé.com, American spelled with a K, on purpose, is the Anti-Communitarian League. The Anti-Communitarian League, listeners, it is there for you to learn about the ultimate third way. My guest tonight is Nikki Rapana, and maybe Nordica, her partner in this information revolution that we're involved in. Welcome to the broadcast, Nikki.
Thank you, Chris.
I know. It's a mess. It's a difficult job. It's like climbing Mount Everest in bare feet in the middle of winter, but yet we do it, and we are so concerned about the direction our country's turning and the way they engineer these local community projects to manipulate people and populations. And certainly there was a recent ruling where eminent domain can take your property in every state of the union, done by the Supremes. Once again, welcome to the broadcast, Nikki. What's on your mind? What a statement to say.
Too much on my mind. The good part of lately is that I have been contacted by several people that I work with down in Washington that were elected representatives, Democrats mostly, that are ever since Kyoto. Is that how you pronounce it?
Kyoto?
The New London, Connecticut case, Kyoto.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not. Anyway, the one that just made eminent domain, expanded the principles behind it, you know, to include private development. That's the one that's getting people, that I was working with, because my work started in property rights in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I told people that they were trying to do something that they could take properties for, at that time it was, they were working on public nuisance abatements and having things like entry orders that nobody could define. It wasn't a warrant exactly, and it wasn't, it's kind of like at the back door way to get into people's houses and see what's inside, see what they have, and then see if they can take it. And, you know, I'm almost at the point now where if I was a really evil person, I could turn it around and pretend that I'm one of them, and I know exactly how to take your neighbor's property if you're interested now, you know?
Isn't that the sad part about it all?
It's horrible.
Yeah.
So when people are messing with me for being broke, which is, you know, we talked about that earlier, you know, there's so much disrespect out there for the time that I've taken to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is what I know, if I put what I know in threw in with the other side,
right,
became a crime mapper or a community developer, I know how to, you know, help them destroy America.
Because of your vast education.
Yes.
The time you spent educating yourself to the ultimate third way, the deception that's all around us, you would be a very good partner for them to engineer these directions. But yet,
right, well, I've been asked by them. I've been approached and offered. This was back when I was working on Compass real intensely in Seattle. They wanted to know how I had become such an expert in their program, and I said, well, I was a conscript in your pilot test. And I just happened to have, you know, reporter's background from college. I wanted to know what it was. That was all.
Uh-huh.
it wasn't any big expose that I was doing. I needed answers to my questions. And then I went so far with it that they invited me to help them protect the privacy of people in the program.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a lot of grant money on the table for that kind of stuff. It was very tempting, I have to say, you know. Even though there was no part of me that ever considered it. And what I did was write him back and thank him very politely, but that the program eliminates privacy, so how can they even ask that?
Yeah, and there's...
They don't understand me.
Well, and there's the sustainable development, the NAFTA corridors. Eminent domain will have to come into prominence in the very, very near future, and already it's happening, where property
right.
is being taken for development projects. And
but the whole country is being rebuilt. They called it Rebuilding America.
Mm-hmm.
Rebuilding community. And it's under Homeland Security. So for me, when they created the Homeland Security Department and combined the 22 agencies, and I think it's 26 or something, under one department, and with the goal of rebuilding community, and not explaining to anybody that rebuilding community means rebuilding the entire community. Either they'll bomb you like they did to Iraq and Afghanistan or wherever, you know, because they're rebuilding Afghanistan into a democracy, and they're rebuilding Iraq into a democracy, and they're rebuilding America, too. They just use a different tactic wherever they're at. And if you don't go along with it, I think the tactics get harsher.
Uh-huh. Well,
so you become a willing seller, and maybe you can leave with your $60,000 on your $120,000 house, you know?
They always give you pennies on the dollar for whatever they take from you.
Right.
And that certainly happened to Jesse Hardy in Florida, who had this property that they wanted to submerge into the abyss. And
back into the thing.
He fought it.
Rewilding.
Huh?
Is it rewilding the farmland?
Yeah, it's rewilding down in Florida. And he had to succumb to their direction. I'm sure he was threatened. But he's just the public one. There's many situations and issues that aren't public that happen, and people don't know where to turn.
Well, it's like all the information that's coming out about the New London, Connecticut people that weren't involved in the lawsuit. The other families that are testifying, and I have seen this on a couple of the sources that I'm not real, that I won't use, okay, let's put it that way, I don't cite them
mm-hmm.
as sources, but I am seeing interviews now that if I had the time, I'd investigate further. In fact, if I had the time, I'd go to New London, because I'm sure there's a lot of details that have been left out, and people pick their area, you know,
mm-hmm.
and what they want to write about, but that they were terrorized with the bulldozers. And old people are very intimidated by this. You don't know how they just got the note on the door, your house has been condemned. See ya. You got to go in 4 months. There was more to it than that.
Well, there very well could be that situation very, very soon for a lot of people as this eminent domain continues. And what gives them the right, those judges, the right to rule for the majority? When we're talking about millions of people being affected by a handful of judges who determine communistic directions.
Well, you know, that one of the things that I'm trying to get across to people on the site is that when I was working for Hugh Sisley in Seattle and defending his property, he had somewhere between 50 and 70 properties in my neighborhood, and they never knew, the government never knew exactly how many properties he owned, because he bought them all on lease purchases from people.
Mm-hmm.
And he never put them in his name. He just, they pay the taxes, and if they're still in their name, technically, but he owns them. So the county, recording office, when they went online, it was back in the like late 80s, early 90s, they transferred everything, and King County doesn't know what he owns. So their goal for a long time was just to find out which houses were his. And this is all light link rail development down there. But one of the things that they cited over and over again in the lawsuits that I was dealing with him was the 1954 Berman decision on blight. And I spent so much time on that case that I can quote Berman directly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not pretty, okay? What they say is things like low-income housing does more and spread disease, crime, and immorality. It's like an open sewer full of rats. You know, so that's how they were defining people's neighborhoods. Okay, if you live in a trailer park or you live in a low-income area that's not even government-run, and their apartments are the worst. Nobody wants to live in HUD housing.
Mm-hmm.
They're the experts on low-income housing, and they use that. This very defamatory language is inside Berman. And they were trying to use it on us and Hugh and the tenants. So the tenants, the people that rented from him because he was such a horrible landlord that kept the rents low and, you know, didn't put millions of dollars into the property so that I didn't have to pay $2,000 a month in Seattle. I paid $650 for a house there. Well, I think what Kilo did more than anything was strengthen Berman, because both sides, including the IJ attorneys that defended the New London residents against the developers, who, by the way, were international developers. I found them really easy. Both sides said that Berman was, they agreed on Berman, okay? That blight, yes, there's definitely a reason why the government can take blight. And what I learned is that there is no definition of blight. And they can call anything they want blight. Now, it's, you know, I can say, go to Milwaukee, and there's parts of Milwaukee that are scary, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When I was outside, every big city in the country's got scary neighborhoods, but they moved it. The neighborhood that I was in was a university neighborhood with that whole eclectic scene going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hippie bands, leftover hippies, people working on their PhDs for 10 years, you know?
Sure.
Old people, immigrants, just a very, you know, diverse community of people, and they're calling it that blight. So pretty much anything is blighted in their terms. So they might not push Kilo. Do you see what I'm saying?
They don't need
Kilo. What they have now is Berman, which is even stronger.
Well, that is news to me, and I'm not paying attention as much as you are to this, and that's why you're so valuable. the point is, they really didn't need to make this ruling. They're just doing it anyway. Is that what?
No, they needed this. They needed this ruling very badly. It gave them a lot of power to do with, you know, what they're doing. They want to, Department of Neighborhoods in Seattle in 1999 put out flyers that said they control all private and public property in the future.
This is 1989?
1999.
Okay.
Right when I first got involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I knew enough about my country to say, when did that happen?
Right. That's what got you
and
started.
Well, part of what got me started was finding that was just one of the things, and then I called them because I used to do a lot of interviews. They called me, you know. I treated the whole thing as if I was a reporter investigating it, even though I didn't work for anybody. I just did what I've been taught in school mainly, and it was very effective. You know, because I wasn't doing it as a tenant in one of the houses. Now, when I worked on the lawsuits, I did. But when I was looking for information and trying to get answers, I just called them up. They were shocked.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, one of the things that I try to put on the site to people is, you know, as soon as you see anything weird in your neighborhood, you know, find out who the council is, because there's some self-appointed committee of people that are determining these things in your neighborhood. And they're always associated with Neighborhood Watch, which now is under the Department of Homeland Security, too. And Neighborhood Watch is doing the asset-based community development interviews. And that's how everything ties to the communitarians, because that's their program. We are all either active human assets called consumers, depending on how much you buy, what you own, or you're an undeveloped human asset, and you must be identified as thus and then retrained, and then they can invite partnerships in with corporate development companies. And they promised to train so many of the uneducated people in the area to be, you know, the slave workers in the companies. And that's how it ties into the schools, too. And we have to prepare our youth for the global market, you know?
Absolutely.
We have a skill that's necessary to promote community redevelopment. And what Kilo did was get the term out there for people. And the argument with the Kilo complaint test or whatever was that they were not blight. They based their whole case on that.
And what is the definition of blight in your opinion?
Anything that doesn't look like a gated community.
Anything that doesn't look like a gated community?
Yeah, it has to be. You know how they do with condos, you can only paint your house a certain color, and, you know, some people like that, okay?
Property associations, in other words.
Property association, exactly. And under the new conditions, and they passed this in Burien, Washington, and in, right next to Ottawa, was it Puyallup? Anyway, there's two places in Seattle that, Seattle, or King County and Pierce County that are incorporating where, in order for you to rent property, it's called the Landlord Training Act. And if you own rental property or you're a renter, you're the one, you have to go through a process where you apply to the community council before you're allowed to live in the neighborhood. They get to screen all the applicants and determine who lives where.
Uh-huh, right.
So those were two of the ones that they were trying to get Hugh to do. And one of the things that you agree as a landlord in the landlord training is to allow spontaneous inspections of your property. You basically, everybody has to waive their Fourth Amendment rights in order to live in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I live in a property association, but I never signed the contract. But the restrictions and the regulations are very well on the table in this contract. It's draconian. They restrict what you can and can't do. And it's interesting, if I do something that they aren't going to like, I wonder what they're going to do. It'll be very interesting out here where I am. Had I known what I was moving into, I probably wouldn't have done this. But oh well. I did not sign their contract, and we'll see what happens.
It's like when you apply for a job now that you have to waive all reservations about any kind of background information that they try to gather on you. You know, it's not limited anymore. You used to be able to time limited permission you would give someone for, you know, top security clearance or whatever. But now, and the conditions used to be that you got to see all the information, maybe, or make recommendations and changes the information that wasn't it was incorrect information. It's like all those people on the no-fly list that don't belong there. They can't get a hold of their files. And community development requires a file on everyone. That's the Compass database. That's community mapping and planning for safety and community mapping, planning, analysis for safety strategies.
Well, isn't that fun?
Mm-hmm.
So the intrusion into our society is very, very apparent, and Homeland Security is consolidation of power. To engineer the 40 chapters of Agenda 21, Chapter 40, information for decision making.
Yes, very important piece.
Yeah,
and that all local governments that participate in local Agenda 21 are required to gather that data on every citizen in their area, region. It's communities and regions. They never mention municipality. They never mention county government because that's your seat of power. And they certainly never, now they're not even mentioning states. And that partnership in New London, Connecticut was an international development firm that has a bunch of fun stuff and good links where if you want to go around the country confiscating people's property, there's a list of communities where it's all ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I put the people, you know, contractors, painters, carpenters, you just hit the big bingo.
Well, and there you have it. We're involved in this major Agenda 21 move that's been going on for 13 years and before.
Right, because Washington State Growth Management Act was passed in 1990.
Okay. It was a little bit before the Rio conference.
Right. 2 years, actually, before the conference came out. Now, I didn't find the term sustainable development in there, and the legislation was weak, and every county outside of King County went pretty much along with it until they just started that conservation easement stuff where they were taking everybody's rural lands. There's a big property group over there called CAPR, Citizens Against oppressive. Oh, shoot, we went to one of their meetings, me and Norica, while we were down there. And, you know, so they get it in their own little neighborhood. And I see this happening around the country, too, that if it affects them or affects their property, then people get together and start speaking out. But they're scared of me, Chris.
And why would they be afraid of someone like you?
They don't like my information. I'm an alarmist. I take it too far. I connect too many dots that they don't want connected. All they want to know is that all they have to do is go to a few meetings, petition their local government, and that they can overturn this repressive new ordinance.
Well, the only problem with that is that they're dealing with paid employees that will continue to show up.
Right, and the people that they're dealing with, the municipal government, don't know the plan. They're just implementing it. They're cogs. This is, I mean, the Democratic woman that I spent so much time with on the phone last week, that was her main concern, was that who knows what they're doing? Who knows how they're helping? And she wasn't happy with the locals that I identified as knowing. Because, you know, the ones who sit on anybody who's in local government, who's on a community development team or a community redevelopment team or a new department, because I went back and studied all the Seattle legislation that created all the new departments, and nobody's ever heard of most of them. And they're the ones that enforce all the new, they're like little glitches in the plans, you know, legislation that, like what happened to us. We were reclassified as a different kind of home dwelling, and which meant that we had no more rights whatsoever that I could see. And then when I asked them why they were doing it, they said they were keeping me safer, which absolutely made no sense, you know.
Was this in Washington?
Mm-hmm. But this was all in 99.
Mm-hmm.
99 and 2000, and then after September 11th happened in 2001, you know, suddenly anybody who says, you know, that complains about anything, they, you know, you're in a whole different ballgame now.
Well,
you have to identify everybody in the country who has the potential for crime and terrorism.
Well, there you are.
Why would you be opposed to that?
Terrorism is so loosely defined today.
Mm-hmm.
And
George
Bush stated, you're either for us or you're against us. At the time of September 11, 2001, he said, you're either for us or you're against us. And we are called anti-government people. We're not anti-government people. We're anti-corruption in government people. We're anti-non-constitutional engineers, because that's the way people are today. They don't even know what the Constitution says. State constitutions are irrelevant, as the Federal Reserve debt note dollar controls the states. So here we are in a late date of this situation. But you plug on, you continue to maneuver. I continue to maneuver and try and get the education out to people, and people are starting to be aware and awake. To what degree? How
didn't you always hope that when they started looking, they would at least have something to find? It kept me going, because I kept thinking, when I went looking, you know, to find out what was going on, it took, you know, 20,000 hours of intense research to even get a grip. And the only person that I found that was really helpful in the beginning was Joan Vian, but mm-hmm. she was out of my league, okay?
Right.
I wasn't prepared to read every conference you'd gone to, you know. Were
well,
you?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. And you know, I don't know how relevant the conferences are today to the point where we need to hear every moment that happened in those conferences, but the engineering of the control is certainly very, very important that she's documented, and the Global Straitjacket is a very excellent, put it this way, it's an excellent companion to the book entitled Our Global Neighborhood, written by the United Nations System in 95. Those two books work hand in hand in educating people to what's happening. It will cut down their time in having to learn much faster when they see the UN side and they see Joan Vian's relevance to it all. That's the way I've seen it. And it isn't necessary to spend all those hours to do the documenting like you have today, because a lot of people can use the websites and they can learn it a lot quicker. And your website is certainly, it's the number one partner site to mine. And
it turned into a monster site, though, didn't it?
Your site's a monster. My site's a monster.
I know. You're
you know, they're both monsters, but they're documentable directions. And there is where we are. This is what it is. It's documentation that is going to wake up the sleeping people that are getting more concerned as time progresses to any degree that we would like, not nearly. But we keep plugging along, and that is the importance of this, is to keep continuing on with these directions that we have, and more people will come on board. Nancy Levin is a perfect example. She came out of the middle of nowhere 6 or 8 months ago. I'd never heard of her before. And she kind of...
I found her through the homeschool stuff. Years ago, I was linking to her articles about homeschooling. I thought that she had a really good grasp of the need for homeschooling and how important it was, and then resources for people. And when I had, you know, some of the early on what you can do stuff on the site, that was how I linked to her, and I kind of was following her. I contacted her.
Uh-huh.
I told her that I thought that she was just 1 inch away from getting the whole picture, and if she was ready for taking the next step, I guess, you know, taking it to the next level, I invited her to come to my website. And it's so amazing what she's done.
Yes. Yes, it is amazing.
Isn't it? Because she's gone into her own complete way of perceiving it.
Yeah.
I learned things from her articles. So she went to my site, and she goes in, you know, found links to other people's site, went to your site, and then from there, you know, because she's got her master's in education, she's definitely an educated person, you know.
Right.
She just took it right into where she started studying the communal communities that they're building, and did a whole series of articles on a communitarian community, which I've never even done that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I just talk about what the police input into the communities, the, you know, the harvesting of the people in the communities. But she wrote about the daily life.
Yes.
Yeah. And what your life will be like when you're living in these communities, and what your relationships will be with your neighbors and your children and your family. And it's heart-wrenching. See, that goes right to the core of the problem. It's about life. It's about everyday life. Because we've really looked at this and what makes America such a fun place to live, okay? And mostly we're a country of people putting ideas into action. We share ideas. We talk about it with each other. Oh, I'm thinking about doing this. And someone says, hey, I know a guy that might be able to help you out with that. And here's his phone number. Give him a call. Tell him I said to call you, you know? That's what Americans do all the time. And I've traveled all over the country now my whole life, except for the South, the Deep South. And I'm assuming it's the same way there, you know, because they're still Americans, and they still got the same free enterprise system that means if you work it and, you know, you go for it, the help comes from all kinds of different directions. We share, we trade, and that's trade. That's political economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they've had a hard time destroying that, and that's what people aren't going to get, that in a planned economy, that ends.
There you have it.
No longer... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
You know,
here we go.
Pretty soon you say, well, the government told me I have to go do this, and I'm applying to the bureaucrats to see if I can get a transfer because I hate my job.
We'll be right back with Nikki Rapana. The Anti-Communitarian League is the website, listeners. Anti-Communitarian League is on our website, AmericanExpose.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that the FTAA is merely about lowering trade barriers. They say it's a plan to create prosperity and enhance freedom throughout the Western Hemisphere, and that busy Americans don't need to be concerned about it. But they aren't telling us about the massive loans, bribes, and transfers of authority. They aren't telling us that their goal is to eliminate our independence by creating a new regional government. They aren't telling us that the FTAA is really part of a huge power grab. The proponents simply aren't proclaiming their true intentions. But you can learn what they are. Visit StopTheFTAA.org. Then tell Congress to reject any plan for the free trade area of the Americas. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
So here it is, listeners, dated January 30th, 2005. I keep waiting and waiting and waiting for Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity or Oprah Winfrey or somebody, anybody, who has daily access to the multitudes to say the words, Agenda 21. I'm still waiting, and for the life of me, I don't understand the refusal to talk about the greatest threat to America that has ever existed. However, it dawns on me that wrapping a brain around Agenda 21 requires time, effort, interest, and a lot of diligence. No one told me about Agenda 21. I found it by accident on the Internet. Then I went to the UN's website and read Agenda 21. From there, I went to Buenos Aires, the President's Commission on Sustainable Development, my local Sustainable Development Commission planners, to local visioning commissions, ecology conglomerates, and then back to the UN. After about 6 months of reading about a whole lot of global, national, and philanthropic organizations, I started documenting and keeping running lists because I discovered Agenda 21 was huge, highly developed, and a done deal. How is it, I asked myself, that in 50 years I never heard of any of this before? Where were my trusted newscasters? And why hasn't my president or the previous president ever talked about Agenda 21? The meetings in Buenos Aires, the Agenda 21's connections to the World Trade Organization, World Bank, and 1,000 other global organizations. So I kept researching the net, and lo and behold, I finally realized that Agenda 21 would never be publicized to Americans. It really can't be, she says. And this is by Nancy Levant.
Isn't she wonderful?
Yeah, she really is wonderful. I was just so happy to see somebody write about it, and I was just overjoyed back then. And I read it on the air, and I covered it, and I congratulated her. And but the thing is, she found it out of the middle of nowhere by doing her research, and she says it like it is. It's the best kept secret in the world. Agenda 21. They have an
issue.
Go ahead.
Well, I follow. I have a tracker on my website, which is sort of part of their thing, but anyway, we use it for a good thing, for sure.
You monitor who's coming to your website.
Well, I monitor where they're coming from. I don't really know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I go to the forums that discuss this, and that's been very helpful. In fact, the tracking system has been helpful in deciding which pages. That's why we developed the Hegelian dialectic page. because so many people were looking at that page.
Yes.
It was a terrible page. In the beginning, we had to just go for it and really, really explain it. And now that's used as a tutorial in college classes. So we must have been okay on that one.
You can't believe the impact you probably made on America. And that's the point. You don't get any.
Right.
You don't get much response, but
nobody ever writes us except for occasionally, you know, like maybe once every few months I'll hear from someone.
Right.
And then I'll hear from two people in a day. I get people from around the world that drop me little cryptic notes. It's kind of funny. But mainly the way I find out how we're being perceived is by following people back to the forums where they talk about us and where they talk about Nancy Levant. And she's got fans that repaste her entire articles into forums on, you know, various places, right?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time there's like no comment, or someone will come along and call her names, which is always their MO.
Yes.
You always know who the plants are in the forums because they shut down anybody that's talking about, you know, I mean, they actually call the UN, that they call it Americans' Obsession with the UN Conspiracy. And they're very good about it, because they don't say conspiracy theory.
Right, right.
They say conspiracy because it is a UN conspiracy.
Yeah.
It's just not a theory. And I tell people that, and they don't like that, because they've all heard the words conspiracy theory, all one word, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a teacher that we just ran into up in Fairbanks the other day, that we hung out at his house for a while, and we talked about some of this stuff, And he immediately asked me if this had anything to do with Black Hawk helicopters. I'm not kidding you.
What a thought. What a statement to make. What an ignorant statement to make.
Yeah. And
ignorant.
He's a teacher. He's an eighth grade. But, you know.
Sure he's a teacher. He can only be that kind of a teacher, because the real teachers don't have jobs anymore.
Right. People like Nancy and Peter Myers over in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he quit almost immediately. Because of what they were asking him to teach. Have you read any of his work?
I have not, no.
He's neither Aryan nor Jew. It's Peter Myers in Australia. He's at cyber1au.net, I think. I can't. .com. It's at au.com. Anyway, his name is Peter Myers, and if anybody has a scholarly bent, that's the place to go. And he's also a leftist Buddhist, which makes him really interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
So, I mean, there's still, the majority of people that I read, the scholars that are studying the global government and as it's coming down, are still all doing it within the dialectic. They're still leftists, they call themselves progressives or whatever. And then on the other side, the American Patriot Movement still calls itself conservative, you know what I mean?
Yes.
They still call themselves Republicans. So,
which is really ludicrous.
It is.
It's absolutely insane.
Who can grab that? Who can grab that? They've been in, my friend Nancy in Seattle, she's been in politics for 70 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to call me and really start asking the questions that needed to be asked, it was just, I felt so bad.
You felt bad.
I felt terrible. You know, it's like my dad. He never could get it. He spent his life devoted, you know, he was Army.
Uh-huh.
Sergeant Major, and my country, love it or leave it, all the way down the line. So could he grab that he was helping them? Did he ever want to even look at that? When I went to him and said, you know, while you were in Vietnam and Korea fighting the communists, or so you thought, they were here. And they've been here for a long time, but they're not communists anymore, Dad. They're communitarians now.
Mm-hmm.
They're nicer. They're nicer communists. They're benevolent.
They're communists with a smile on their face.
Exactly. That's what Nancy asked me. She goes, this sounds like the friendly face of communism. I went, very good. That's exactly what it is. And they have all their, they've taken the words. You know, people are like, I'm for peace. Like when all my countrymen give me peace signs, people my age, you know, they think it's cool. They taught their kids, oh, they give the peace sign. And then you look at the peace movement and see what that is, you know, and why they did that. The same time that they determined to have a century of war and revolution, they also had to create the antithesis to war, which is the peace movement. So they control both sides all the way down the line of that.
That's right. There you have it. both sides of the Vietnam War, the war at home, the war over there. Stop the war, not stop communism, stop the war.
Right.
Let communism flourish.
Right, and then now more and more, it's like it's still being discussed as it's some theory that it could work if people just were nicer people. So when you oppose these programs, you're against the neighborhood. You don't care about community. You don't care about, you know, quality of life. You know, it's like, what are you, anti-livability, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When I say I'm anti-communitarian, I mean I'm anti-fascist corporate government. But,
right.
You know, if you read their stuff, they're here to shore up the moral, political, and social environment in the United States because we've just lost touch with community. We're such, we've suffered under unfettered individualism, things like that. You know, nobody knows what that means.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They hear that and go, oh, I don't think I do that. And then they, you know, I actually have people, Chris, telling me, because I told you this, that if I don't watch the news on TV, I don't know what's going on. And they're repeating propaganda platitudes to me as if this is the reality. So Nordica and I are convinced that we're living in, you know, some kind of dual universe here, and it's terrible. It's a terrible place to be. Right now she's laying on the couch with the covers over her head. It's like, this is exhausting, just listening to me.
Oh, my goodness. I thought she was going to be on the other phone.
No, I asked her if she wanted to go on, because she's done a lot of studying now in different areas. Like, I stuck with the law, the policies, and the program.
Uh-huh.
And I sourced and referenced everything I did, right? And then Nordica said, well, you know, there's other things going on here, too. And she went and studied the satanic cult.
Well, there's good relevance of that at the bottom of your website now.
I know. We started getting into the symbolism, and I just found the communitarians in Italy use the same, you know, did you see that? It's creepy.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, we're not holding back. We're becoming less of a repressed, you know, someone my age.
Well, I bet you Nordica's, I bet you she's real clued into the Congressional Medal of Honor now.
Yeah.
Being the upside-down five-pointed star.
Yes, and what that means.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing, and how, and it's really yucky. And so, and a friend of hers, she's got the totally unrelated young girl. Nordica's, you know, always been on the computer, has friends all over the country, and this little girl ended up setting up her own whole website that runs for cold cases and missing persons and looks for children, helps put the information online. Runs a whole database. It's an amazing little site this gal has. So now, you know, the more Nordica looks into the... She sounds like a fundamental Christian, and I didn't raise her in the church. I just raised her with the principles. But now, you know, you ask her what's going on, and she just calls them baby rapers. Raping babies and eating them, and she just... It's horrible what she wants, you know... So I'm thinking about putting more of this on, and I have, because it's the yuckiest part of it, the part that my brain... I'm a nonfiction journalist.
Right.
And I don't cite the Bible. I don't do anything on my site. You know, I stayed out of that.
Right.
I went after it as a journalist and tried to stay in, you know, so that if it ever came to the point where anybody ever read it, I would never expect it to have 250 people a day at our website, I'll tell you that.
Well, and that's very commendable, and it's taken a period of time to make that happen, but yet, 250 people a day, certainly some are returning, but
maybe 17, 25 of them.
Every day more people are finding it. Every day more people are learning more, because most people are realizing things aren't right. Things aren't coordinating properly, and the fact that we're the U.S. military is in all these countries and invading Iraq and Afghanistan, and yet what is our military but the U.N. force working to engineer this IMF control of the world through the World Bank and World Trade Organization? It is all relevant to what we're trying to do here in waking people up, and I think we're having an effect. I can't I can't think we're not having an effect because we're still here. You know, we're still here. We still have the websites. We still have the broadcast. And without
and
your...
They think that we're so marginalized that we don't matter. And I think that the coolest thing would be is if it did. But, I don't have a lot of hope because of what I see in my everyday life.
Well,
I have hope online. I have hope when I'm looking at your work and that you have a great team there, Chris.
Yes.
That one person just can't do it and two people can't do it, 20 people can't do it. There should be thousands more people because everyone, you look at it a little bit differently than I look at it. Your perspective is different. Nancy Levant's perspective is different. She speaks to a certain group of people that when they read her stuff, bam, they get it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then some people read her stuff and discount her because they want more references and citations so they'll come to our sites, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're looking for links directly to these places where she, all her websites for wisdom are people that she thinks in the research community are doing the good work. Because she knows most Americans and most visitors from out of the country, and they can't read Local Agenda 21 and see anything but, well, it sounds good to me, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just like a neighborhood plan, when I was complaining so loudly and so verbally, because I'm willing. I went to all those meetings. I went to the community development meetings. I went to every little private group I could find going on. I signed up at the end, every list, email list of information and updates. I called the police station regularly and said, how come I haven't heard from you guys? I want to know what's going on. So the key there was that, you know, if there's only one person asking questions, it can blow it for them.
Yeah, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
If they have nothing to stand on, there's no foundation behind their program. You ask every stupid question that America has is the right question.
Right.
Like, what does that mean? I never heard of that before. Anything you've never heard about before is probably one of their things that they made up. You know, just like sustainable development. Isn't it funny what it really means?
Right.
Nothing. And yet it's on everything. I just drove through Denali Park, okay?
Uh-huh.
And stopped and at the lodges and visited people that I know up there. And they're all eco-friendly places. And Princess, you know, owns all of Interior Alaska now. Holland with Dutch, what is it, Holland America. And Princess Tours, they run the park. They are the park. They're creating phony little fake Alaskan villages. It's all storefronts, and they have a few local businesses that they work with, just enough to make it look like it's a collaboration with the locals. They did it in Juneau too. So Alaska is like a tourist destination. They're wiping out all the industry up here.
Well, naturally, and isn't that unfortunate?
Mm-hmm.
They continue to do that all over the country.
Right.
Eliminate any kind of industry. I understand.
Like people found on that scenic highway, the bypasses, you know.
Right.
I read a lot of stuff on, I can't remember which site had it, but there's some people that have really followed that one back east. And how what it said in the beginning, it's never what it ends up being. It ends up shutting down business, and they end up bringing in their own businesses. Yeah, it's good. It's a good plan. It's the most brilliant plan I've ever read.
Well, the fact that the NAFTA corridors are being engineered and the construction companies coming from Spain to do the work,
right.
It's all smoke and mirrors at this point in time. And, you know, here you say, Agenda 21 uses communitarian language. The president of Colombia is a communitarian president. President Bush is a communitarian president. George Soros is a communitarian. AmeriCorps is a communitarian program. Citizen Corps is a communitarian draft. Hillary Clinton is a communitarian. ABCD, asset-based community development, is a communitarian mapping program. Domestic violence acts and laws rely on communitarian shaming or shamming. Family-based prevention is communitarian. Creative crime prevention is communitarian. So you've done a lot of work here that connects dots to communitarians.
And every one of those links uses the word communitarian, I made sure.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That's just not me saying it. I link you right to where it says that they're a communitarian.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. It's real. You know, if there's anything you can impress on your readers more is that there's nothing on your site that's not true. There's nothing on my site that's not true. Anything that I speculate on, I clearly speculate, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder a lot. That's probably why you like my blog, because that was where I go, what is this? That? More like Nancy Levant style, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She says a lot of, does this have anything to do with that? And, gee, is this a coincidence? I don't think so. Here's why.
Well,
I
do miss your updates.
Well, if I can't work on the site, if I don't have time to work on the site, then the only thing I can do is updates. The problem with the update was that there was so much good information in there that you could never find. You know, the blog is a great idea if I'm just talking about whatever. But I try to remember where I put a link, you know, and then I go, it's in the blog somewhere. Shoot. Then I have to study my own work. I have to study my own work when I come up on things later, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they are getting clearer and clearer. We're getting clearer and clearer. You know, just that whole thing you just read about what is communitarianism is way better. It's the old idea of show it, don't tell it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that instead of telling everybody that we're all communitarians now, which I did in one of my articles, I'm always saying, let's have a communitarian holiday, you know?
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
Because that's what they are. That's the glue. Communitarianism is the glue that holds the whole thing together. And that's the smoke and mirrors, which ties into Hegel.
Uh-huh.
That every one of these programs is a result of their smoke and mirror science. They're alchemists, they're mysticists, they're magicians. Nartica calls them sorcerers casting a spell on the world. You know, she just really is. She holds back nothing, you know.
I understand.
And
good for her.
Yeah, well, right now, it's like her whole future, everything that she ever planned on doing went right out the window with this, okay?
I understand.
Can you imagine being 20 right now and knowing what we know?
Well,
and being so alone,
how about
being so broke?
How about my young friend Ron or Ronnie, who can't find a relationship? He's 31 years old. He's looking for a future wife. He can't find anyone here. He's gone on the internet to find a wife or a girlfriend. He's never been on a date more than once with the same woman. And what is he doing right now? He's in Russia looking for a wife. I'm telling you the truth. He's in Russia looking for a wife right now.
Oh, poor guy.
I know. I mean, the guy thinks he's doing the right thing. And this woman over there has no freedom. And she says she's been in America before. It's no big thing. Baloney. She can't go out of her country. She can't travel freely in her country. She's already admitted it to him. And yet he thinks he's going to get her back here on a fiancé visa, and they're going to create this great old family together. Mm.
Well, you know, the whole glasnost, perestroika, I don't know if you read any of Stephen Montgomery's work on that.
No, I have not.
Okay, I linked to him on our Hegel page. He links back to me with reservations.
Okay.
Well, because the thing is, you know, my site, I don't hold back any on any of the anything that has anything to do with communitarianism, I write about. And that means militant Zionism, Talmudic law, the faith-based initiative, and the, what does civil society really mean, the Freemason links to that. It's actually a Freemason term, you know, all of it. So we scare people. If I just wrote about property rights, then the property rights people would use me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, because I don't think that they're isolated. And I think if we isolate them, and only deal with, you know, like this guy, his problem, I can't find a woman to marry me. Well, that's the result of 50 years of feminism, actually 100.
Yeah.
And, you know, 100 years ago, the suffragists and the temperance movement set up the drug war. You know, it does go way back. You have to go back 100 years. And didn't, when I first started, and I was only going to go back to 99. I had no intention of going. I just want to know what's going on right now. I didn't care about the past.
I understand.
And I didn't want to go there because it was, that's hard research.
Yes.
And I found Henry Lamb's Timeline of Global Governance.
Yes.
You've seen that, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
It's really good, isn't it?
It is good, and I've used it on the air.
Yeah, and for brand new people, it's the one that, for me, it took me right into the realm where I went, oh, my God, I have to go back to 1917. And we were... Yes, and now, Nordica says, it goes back to the beginning of civilization, that there has always been groups of people who wanted to control everybody else, and they never went away.
That's right. Never went away.
And why we think that they stopped in being around is just too funny now, you know?
Well, it just goes to show how the brainwashing has worked so well.
Mm-hmm.
The deliberate
we have no
down.
Enemies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have, you know, religious enemies. Now, you know, jihadists obviously are pretty angry people. There's some pretty angry right-wing Christians who kill people in the name of God still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're playing out to us the, you know, the many faceted sides to the dialectical conflicts between religions.
Yes. You've done great work, Nikki. The hour's up. That wasn't very painful, was it?
No, it wasn't.
No Child Left.
Nordica was, but not for me.
No Child Left Behind is something to research on your website, listeners. Nikki Rapana is the Anti-Communitarian League. And great information everywhere here. It's to the first-time viewer, just like Nancy Levant, shocking. But there's nothing that isn't documented here. And that is the point. That's why we still do it. And that's why people respond. Maybe not to the degree we'd like them to, but we continue because there's nothing else to do but to continue.
Exactly. I know, and that's where we sit right now. It's like, do we go and just start taking care of us again? As I put my life on hold as soon as I found out, and same as Nancy and other people, lots of other people. No, I'm not alone in that. And there's some, you know, there's some solidarity there that feels really good, you know. Finding you felt really good.
Well, Nikki, I sure appreciate your time tonight.
And I sure appreciate you calling.
We'll,
help.
We'll keep it up a little more. And thank you for being
okay.
with me.
All right. Thank you, too.
All right, Nikki. Nikki Rapana, listeners. Good night now. Thanks again.
Good night.
God bless you, listeners. God bless Nikki Rapana and what she's doing. The research site, the Anti-Communitarian League, is there on AmericanExpose.com. Darren Weeks tomorrow night, listeners. Listen to Darren. He does it well.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-7000.